Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text Number 39. Jagat Upasti Didayeshu Devato.
Jagat Upasti Didayeshu Devato.
Bahu Vidyamana Gunayat Mamayaya. Ajitatma Beda Mataye sa samstaya. Bidi partita pramagunat mane namaha. Jagat, the material world. Upava, creation. Stiti, maintenance. Vayeshu, in annihilation. Daivata, destiny. Bahu, many. Vidyamana, being variegated. Gunaya, by material qualities. Atmamayaya, by his material energy. Rachita, produced. Atma, in the living entities. Veramataye, who produced different inclinations. Sasangstaya, by his internal potency. Vinivartita, caused to stop. Rama, interaction. Guna, of material modes. Atmane, unto him in his personal form. Nama, obeisances. Translation. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who has created varieties of manifestations and put them under the spell of the three qualities of the material world in order to create, maintain, and annihilate them. He himself is not under the control of the external energy. In his personal feature, he is completely devoid of the variegated manifestation of material qualities, and he is under no illusion of false identification. Report. Two situations are described in this verse. One is the creation, maintenance, annihilation of the material world, and the other is the Lord's own establishment. There is also quality in the Lord's own establishment, the kingdom of God. It is stated here that Goloka is his personal situation. There is also quality in Goloka, but that quality is not divided into creation, maintenance, annihilation. And the external energy, the interaction of three qualities, makes it possible for things to be created, maintained, annihilated. But in the spiritual world of the kingdom of God, there is no such exhibition, since everything is eternal, sentient, and blissful. There is a class of philosophers who misunderstand the appearance of the personality of Godhead within this material world. They are under the impression that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he is under the spell of the three qualities, like all the other living entities who appear within this material world. That is their misunderstanding. As it is clearly stated here, sasangstaya, by his internal potency. He is transcendental to all these material qualities. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I appear by my internal potency. Both the internal and external potencies are under the control of the Supreme, so he does not come under the control of either of these potencies. Rather, everything is under his control. In order to manifest his transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, and paraphernalia, he brings into action his internal energy. On account of variegatedness of the external potency, there are manifestations of many qualitative demigods, beginning with Brahma and Lord Shiva, and people are attracted to these demigods according to their own material quality. But when one is transcendental or surpasses the material qualities, he is simply fixed in the worship of the Supreme Personality. This fact is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is already transcendental to the variegatedness and interaction of the three material qualities. The summary is that the conditioned souls are being pulled by the action and reaction of the material qualities, which create a differentiation of energies. But in the spiritual world, the worshipful one is the Supreme Lord and no one else. Mukam karori vachalam mangam langati yakipam tamam mande si gurum tinatarinam om agyana timirandasya garanja shakaya chakshu militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. So Prabhupada said in the purport, there's two different worlds, the material world and the spiritual world. So what is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world? Material world is called Kunta, or the place of anxiety. Everyone is in anxiety. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. How will we maintain? How will we eat? How will we sleep, mate, and defend? And in the spiritual world, there is no anxiety. Everyone is completely taken care of there. Even here, everyone is completely taken care of, but people do not realize it. They think that when a problem comes up, then they blame God. And when good things happen, then they say, yes, it is my hard work, it is my ingenuity, it is my intelligence. But actually, He is providing for everyone, devotees and non-devotees both. So what is the difference? Another difference is that the spiritual world is Sat-Chit Ananda. It is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. And here, it's miserable, ignorant, and temporary. So in the spiritual world, there is no past, present, or future. But here we have birth, death, disease, and old age. Only in the spiritual world, time is only in the present. Here we do have the phases of time. And we have trees here, many trees, but they only give one kind of fruit. But in the spiritual world, we have desire trees, and they will give you any kind of fruit. One time Guruji asked Srila Prabhupada about the desire about eating fruit in the spiritual world. He said, you will get a fruit in your hand, and you'll eat it, and then when you finish that fruit, another fruit will appear in your hand until you're finished. And the fruit in the spiritual world has no seed and no skin. So it's like juice. It's very, very juicy. Here, another difference between the material world and the spiritual world, as it says in the purport, that there are demigods here. That you don't see Krishna here. Krishna is covered. But in the spiritual world, you see the Supreme Lord, and you directly serve Him. There's no demigods in between. There's no indirect path. Everything is direct. And also, when you cook in the spiritual world, it's quite different from cooking here. One time, Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, when Radharani's cooking some rice, then she asks the rice, are you done yet? And the rice says, give us a few more minutes. And so it's quite different. The spiritual world and the material world is quite different. And so we have our choice to live in the spiritual world or in the material world. If we serve Radha Gopinath, Prabhupada says we're in the spiritual world. I read the quote. There's a quote out on the board there, and it's very relevant for today's class, so I copied it. As soon as you offer yourself to be enjoyed by Krishna and serve according to His order, then immediately you are in the spiritual world. So you can become situated in the material world or the spiritual world only as you desire. As you desire, if you want to remain in the spiritual world, this temple is the spiritual world. We are not living in Melbourne, Prabhupada said. This is a lecture by Prabhupada in Melbourne. This temple is not Melbourne. It is Vaikuntha. So if you want to stick to this temple service, Krishna service, then you're not in the material world. That is your position. So it also talks here in the purport about becoming transcendental. If you engage in devotional service, you're transcendental to the modes of nature. So one devotee, Bhagavad, he asked Prabhupada, he said, I'm confused, because throughout your books and in your lectures, you say, when you're a devotee, you're on the transcendental platform. But at the same time, you talk about being affected by the modes of material nature. Although I'm a devotee, I'm practicing the principles of devotional service, experiencing a certain amount of transcendental pleasure. At the same time, I feel affected by the modes of material nature. How is it I can be on the transcendental platform and still be affected by the modes of material nature? Prabhupada said, it is just like being on a boat. Have all of you experienced being on a boat? I think recently they had, Bhakti Chandra Maharaj had a luxury cruise. But I heard that the devotees, a lot of them got sick because there were 5 meter high waves and on that cruise. So maybe they should make a more solid foundation next time. But this happens. You may be on the luxury cruise, but if there's 5 meter waves, you will not be comfortable. So it's just like being on a boat. When you're on the boat, no one can say you're not on the boat. You're on the boat. But sometimes big waves will come and rock the boat. And these waves are the modes of material nature. And the boat is the transcendental platform. You're on the transcendental platform, but sometimes the waves of material nature rock the boat. So your position is not steady. How will you become steady? For that you have to learn from the captain of the boat how to steer the boat. If you learn expertly, then you'll be steady even in the most greatest storm of the modes of material nature. So that's what Prabhupada said, that we need to learn how to steer the boat. Not only we ride in the boat, we have to learn how to steer the boat too. Everybody has to fly their own plane. I mean, we help each other while we're here in this material world, but at the time of death, you fly your own plane. So you can't just take a seat in the boat and be comfortable and expect to reach the destination. You will reach the destination, but it may take some time. So we should want to go back to Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj is the first person in this universe to go back to Godhead in this day of Brahma. And the Lord is more anxious to take us back to Godhead than we can desire. Most of us don't desire to go at all to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada says in a purport. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Krishna helps in all respects. So how many of you want to go back to Godhead? Everybody? Oh, we have a majority. In Sweden, I asked the question, and very few. It's said yes, a different culture. So, yeah. So what is the news? This universe is like a gigantic cooking pot. This question was asked to Yudhisthira Maharaj in Mahabharata. What is the news? So the news is that this universe is like a gigantic cooking pot. We are all being cooked by time. Time is our cook who is frying us. Some of us are well done, and some of us are deep fried, completely fried. And so this is happening. This is the news. We are suffering birth, death, disease, and old age. And no one can get out because most people are karmis, gyanis, or yogis. I mean, not so many yogis or gyanis, but karmis a lot. So because these processes, even if you follow karma yoga, if you follow jnana, if you follow karma, jnana, and yoga, these processes you will only find in this material world. In the spiritual world, you will find bhakti yoga. You will find bhakti here, also there. So that's another difference between the material world and the spiritual world, is that these other processes are material and that you find them only here. At the end, they will not exist. Only bhakti and chanting Hare Krishna is eternal and is the only reality. Narottam Das Thakur has sung Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishara Kanda. Path of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda are like strong pots of poison. Amitapalya Jeva Kai Nana Yoni Sarafire. If someone thinks this poison is nectar and drinks it, he travels in different species of life. And so we are following a different path. Kevala Ananda Kanda. We are following the path of Ananda, path of bliss. But most people are unaware of this path, even great sages. There is a verse in the sixth canto, because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, the great sages like Yajñavalkya, Jaimini, and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajans. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So they're into their rituals, busy collecting ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, like elevation to Swargaloka for material happiness. So Sridhar Swami comments on this verse that in Ayurvedic medicine, there is a medicine called Mitta Sanjeevani, can raise the dead and make them alive. Sanjeevani. Mrita means death and Sanjeevani means giving life. So even a dead man can get life by drinking this medicine. And but generally they give you another medicine called Chikatu when you're suffering. It's bitter medicine, neem, kalmeg, and chirata, very bitter. Without knowing that there's a superior medicine, a very sweet nectar, they give you this bitter medicine. So Sridhar Swami compares karma, jnana, and yoga to this three bitter medicines. Without knowing bhakti, without knowing chanting Hare Krishna, they give you these bitter medicines to take. There's so many rituals they try to follow. Like when Prabhupada installed the deities in Vrindavan temple, he had to hire all these brahmanas to do the ritualistic ceremonies. At the same time, he had the devotees doing Harinam Sankirtan. And he said the real installation was the Sankirtan. That was the real installation of the deities. And it is a method that we follow in this age of Kali. Harinama, Harinama, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo, Nashteva, 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 Vyatiranita. And so, this holy name is coming from the spiritual world. Golokir Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. And fortunately for us, it's also in the material world right now, and we can take advantage of it. Although it's something from the spiritual world, they are chanting Hare Krishna and Goloka. It's coming to us, and it's the means and it's the end of, it is the goal as well as the process. So how is it non-different from Krishna? How is it the process and the goal as well? His Holiness Satchinanda Swami tells a nice story about a beggar. There was a beggar who went to the king and said to the king, I have never seen what gold looks like. Can you show me what is gold? So the king said, okay, you just climb up these stairs, go to the left, open the door, and you will see gold. So the beggar climbed the stairs, went to the left, opened the door, and he said, oh, it's gold. And not only this is gold, the stairs are made of gold too. I didn't realize because I didn't know what gold looks like. And so for us also, the process is gold and the goal is gold. The process is chanting Hare Krishna, doing devotional service. And the goal is also the same. The goal is the same, the process and the goal, chanting Hare Krishna. One time, somebody asked me, are they chanting Hare Krishna in the spiritual world? I said, where do you think it's coming from? It's coming from the spiritual world. So, when Krishna left the Rasa Lila, and the gopis who were singing in separation, and Prabhupada said, finally, after they were searching and searching in the forest, they all came back to the bank of Jamuna, and expecting Krishna must come, they all started chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, waiting for Krishna to come. So what does it mean to go back to Godhead? We heard what Prabhupada said. I read in the beginning of class, this temple is the spiritual world. Some say the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan. or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. So Prabhupada is here. He has created, I think he personally brought the deities to Radha Gopinath, didn't he? And then these deities came later. But it was, they were here when Prabhupada was here, right? The
yes.
Gornichai and Jagannath too?
Yes.
All
yes.
of them.
He installed both Radha
Vallabha and Gornichai. Radha Vallabha and Gornichai. Okay. So these are gifts of Srila Prabhupada here. He brought them from the spiritual world. So that's why if we live here, we're in Navadvip and we're in Vrindavan and we're in Jagannath Puri. Take your choice. Where you want to live, where you want to be. We have three holy dhams here in this one room. This is Goloka. Goloka has all the dhams. And so this temple is Goloka, Vrindavan. So Advaita told Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, O my Lord, that is Vrindavan. So a pure devotee, he doesn't pray for liberation or cessation of cycle of birth and death. The most important thing is he wants to get a chance to hear the glories of the Lord. This hearing is very, very important. So for a devotee, everything is in the spiritual world, as long as he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord. Or wherever he can chant, the Lord is personally present. That's what Tatatishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Madhbhaktaha. The Lord says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the heart of the yogis. I am wherever my devotees are chanting my glories. So Prabhupada says in one purport, well, actually teachings of Lord Kapila lectures, that for the devotee, there's no need to pray to the Lord to go to the spiritual world. He can create Vrindavan or Vaikuntha anywhere simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. So when you are happy chanting Hare Krishna, you're in the spiritual world. Then you can pray. Actually, sometimes devotees ask, you know, what about, shouldn't we just stay here and not go back to Godhead, not desire? But that's a very high level. Prabhupada encourages us to have a desire to go back to Godhead. We should have that desire. That should be our goal. To be back to Godhead, to worship Krishna. So the Lord is manifesting in two different ways, as Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Shabda Brahma is the sound incarnation. He has come in the sound vibration of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he also has come in the form of the deities, Param Brahma. Two ways he has appeared, so we can be with him and be in the spiritual world, even while we're here in the material world. We can, by chanting Hare Krishna, we can be in the spiritual world. By worshipping the deities, we can be in the spiritual world. And, of course, the holy name is more merciful than the deities. So many rules and regulations for worshipping the deities. Only 10 offenses for the holy name, and I think there's 32 in deity worship. Even better is to chant the Panchatapa Mahamantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gauravaktarinda. No offense. And it's the same as chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Panchatapa Mahamantra is the same. Only difference is 10 offenses for chanting Hare Krishna and no offenses for chanting Panchatapa. So why don't we just do japa with Panchatapa Mahamantra? Because Lord Chaitanya will not be happy if we do that. He wants us to chant Hare Krishna. That was his example. When Advaita was inspiring, a lot of devotees were chanting Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. Lord Chaitanya heard it. He said, stop, stop, stop. I want only you to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the point is that if we chant Hare Krishna or if we worship the deities, then we are in the spiritual world. So a question that was often asked to Srila Prabhupada is, which is better, to desire to stay here birth after birth and preach, or should we desire to go back to Godhead? Obirijan asked Prabhupada that question. And Prabhupada said, you want me to come back here for you? No, you should go back to Godhead. You should desire. He told Burijan that when Burijan asked, you all know Burijan Prabhu, he's an inhabitant of Australia. But when Achyutananda asked the question, Prabhupada had a different answer, a completely different answer. Achyutananda asked Prabhupada, which is more important, to go back to Godhead or to stay here and spread Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada gave a different answer. Prabhupada said, well, one who is preaching Krishna consciousness, he's already back to Godhead. He said, preacher means he has engaged his body, his mind, his words only to glorify the Lord. That is a preacher. So anyone who is doing this is Jivan Mukta. He's liberated, even in this life. So why should he look for liberation? He's already liberated. He's already back to Godhead. He's already with Krishna. Krishna is talking with him. So a lot of time book distributors, words come out of their mouth and they don't know where they came from. Sometimes also when I give class, words come out and I don't know where they came from. It's usually for me to listen to some instruction that I should follow. So if you're a preacher, Prabhupada says, you're already in the spiritual world. So now we got three ways you can be in the spiritual world. Do temple service, deity worship, chant Hare Krishna, and be a preacher. Those three ways you can live in the spiritual world. You're not in the material world. Also, if you come here in this temple, you can be in Navadvip, Vrindavan, or Puri, and worship your Ishtadev. So Prabhupada explains, what will we do when we go back to Godhead? What will we do in the spiritual world? We would join Krishna in his pastimes. So here is from a purport in 8th canto. He said, the purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and dance and live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eat with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are different items of Ananda. So we're meant to join with Krishna in eating and dancing and sleeping and recreation, everything with Krishna. Eat, dance, play, and live with Krishna. That is our goal. So by following the instructions of the spiritual master, we become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Chant 16 rounds without offense, follow the regulative principles, and preach, and we will go back to Godhead. So that's the end of this class. But now today is the appearance day of Varahadev, so I will read also from Srimad Bhagavatam about Varaha. So it all started. Where's this? Canto 4. 93rd canto, part 1. Do we have it? And this is 3rd canto, part 1. This is 4th canto. We don't have it. Okay, you have to run up to my room and get it. I thought it was here, but this is 4th canto, part 1. Okay, so you run up and get it. It's up on the couch. So in the meantime, we can have any questions. Oh, wait a minute. I got it. It was on this side of me. I was looking at this one. Okay, never mind. I got it. So it all started in the beginning of creation for this day of Brahma. And Brahma was... creation was going on. There were some ups, there were some downs. The four Kumaras refused to have children, so that wasn't very pleasing to Brahma. So then he in his anger, Lord Shiva was born. And then those children, he had lots of children, but they were out to destroy the universe. So he said, no, not now, it's not the time. Again, problem. So then he got Manu, and Manu's ready. Yeah, okay, I'm ready. We'll have children, we'll populate the universe. But the problem was that his house, his place to live, the earth, had fallen to the bottom of the ocean. And it was a big ocean, it was the Garbhodak Ocean, not much bigger than our ocean. So what happened? Brahma didn't know what to do. He was thinking, he was meditating on the Lord. So he said, "It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us." And all of a sudden, while Brahma was meditating, a small form of a boar came from his nose, no more than the upper portion of a thumb. Then while Brahma was observing him, the boar flew into the sky in a huge, gigantic manifestation, like a big elephant. So Brahma was watching. First he was no bigger than the thumb, now he's as large as a stone. I think he's Vishnu. And while he was thinking, Varaha roared just like a mountain. He roared very loudly. And he enlivened Brahma and all the Brahmanas. Again he roared, and when the great sages from the higher planets heard his roaring, which was the auspicious sound of the Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the Vedic mantras, Vedic hymns. They started chanting back to him. So normally when a pig roars, you don't chant Vedic hymns. So this is definitely not, again, we should understand, this form is not the same as the form of the pigs in this world. It's completely transcendental. Then he ran he jumped into the water. He was very pleased. And he scattered, but before he jumped in the sky and scattered all the clouds and with his hoofs. And then he had the body of a hog searching after the earth by smelling, just like a hog would do. And he entered the water, and he divided the middle of the ocean. Two high waves came out, like two hands. And they were crying, "Oh Lord of all sacrifice, please do not cut me into two. Kindly give me protection." So he went in there and he saw the earth at the bottom of the ocean. And he took the earth on his tusks and got out and immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. So then he put the earth up on his tusks, and he took a bluish complexion to show the sages who he really was. It's me. It's Krishna. Because the hog was either white or red. At the beginning it was white, and at the end it was the latest incarnation was red. So he took a bluish complexion. Brahma and the sages could understand him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then all the sages started praying, "Oh, unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories to you, Jai, Jai. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair hose of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, you have now assumed the form of a boar." So, in the purport, Prabhupada says that the Lord can take any form He likes. And if He wants to be a boar, if He wants to take the form of a boar, He can do that. If He wants to take the form of a fish or a tortoise, He can do that. Or half man, half lion. But His body is always transcendental. His form is transcendental. So that's the lesson we learn from this boar incarnation, that He's always transcendental, no matter what form that Lord takes. Even as a hog, the Lord's form is transcendental. And in the hair, the oceans are submerged, the sages said. So you should not be misunderstood to be anything else. Then the sages said, "Your form is worshipable by performance of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri, and others are in the touch of your skin." So, and this hog, when he came out of the water, he splashed the sages. He shook himself like hogs will do. And the water came on the sages, and they were so happy. "Oh, wow, we got purified. We got purified by this water coming from the hog. We got purified." So, Gayatri is in the touch of his skin. The bodily hairs are kusha grass, so he dropped his hair and then kusha grass grew up on this earth from his hair. Your eyes are clarified butter. Your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. Your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostril is another plate. Your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice. Another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is the plate of sacrifice known as Soma. And whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. So fire is his mouth. The repetition of your appearance is the desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is the place for three desires. Your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. So if anyone who wants to be initiated can remember the Hulk incarnation, it's all part of his body. Your head is the fire without sacrifice as well as the fire of worship. And your living forces, prana, are the aggregate of all desires. So we worship Varahadev. It is described in the first canto in the purport. Prabhupada says that Narada and Varaha had something in common. They created faith in the mass of people. How Varaha did that? I guess by lifting the earth. That will give you faith. Yes, even if the earth is lost, he can lift it for us. So we pray to Varaha today to give us strength and to increase our faith in Krishna and in Guru Parampara, and let us always engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna and live in the spiritual world. So we'll stop there if there's any questions or comments on today's class. Yes?
I was just wondering, in terms of being transcendental but being affected by the modes.
Being transcendental but at the same time being affected by the modes of nature. Yes, Kapila Dev describes devotional service in the modes. Yeah, so in the teachings that Kapila Dev describes, that in the mode of ignorance, then your devotional service is violent and you're a separatist and you may be angry with others, think you're the best. In the mode of passion, you want fame, you want glory, you want something in return, something material you want in return. In goodness, you do your duty as in, you offer your occupational duty as a service to Krishna. And transcendental, it flows, it's completely natural and flows like the Ganga to the river. So how does that affect us if we're in the modes? Yes. So we're all striving. As devotees, Prabhupada said we should live in the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada has given us the way to live in the mode of goodness, and that get up early, go to Mangalarti, three baths a day, eat prasadam. I mean, these are, of course, prasadam is transcendental, but many of the things we do are in the mode of goodness. So he's encouraging us to do that. And we are also encouraged to do devotional service in the mode of goodness. Those who are living outside especially, they can offer the fruits of their work to Krishna. Those who are living in the temple, they do everything. There's no separation there. So, so how can we? We need to cultivate the mode of goodness, and that will help us make the boat less shaky, the boat of transcendence. But we get tested in this life. And when the test comes, then we need to see where do I go for shelter. So Prabhupada is encouraging us to go to the captain of the ship, to the guru. So Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. We can go to him, pray to him. He's here sitting. He's upstairs in his room. You can contact him. He's the captain of the ship of ISKCON right now, and as long as ISKCON is here, this material world. So you can pray to him also take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of his books, which is another form of Prabhupada, another form of Krishna. And so we have the holy name, we have the books, we have the deities. And we have Śrīla Prabhupāda also. Any other questions? Yes.
Devotees are?
Devotees also are tested.
Are tested. How come we get also miseries?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought when I become a devotee, I won't be sick anymore. Right? Yeah.
No, I'm asking that devotees also become sick and they have problems. Not water, material, nature.
Yes.
But how we face it?
How should we?
Face it.
How should we face it? Okay, thank you. How should we face it when we have difficulties in our life? Okay, the first number one is see the hand of Krishna behind it. That I deserve much more suffering, but Krishna is giving me only a little token. So that's the first thing. First, it's the attitude that helps. So first, and so that's the first thing. Okay, I'm not getting what I deserve. Because Krishna is minimizing my karma. Krishna is protecting me from my karma. Then the next thing is, what lesson must I learn from this? Generally, the lesson we learn from difficulties involves a change of attitude. We have to change our attitude towards Krishna, towards devotees, towards the world we live in. And as soon as we change our attitude, the test finishes. But as soon as we understand what Krishna is trying to tell us, what is the lesson we need to learn, then we pass the test. But until then, the test will go on. And then you get another test after that, a different one. Many tests. So yes, we need to, and then even you can go one step further. You can say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this difficulty, because now I will be closer to you. Now I will appreciate devotional service more. Now I will appreciate the devotees more. Now is my chance to become free from anarthas and make progress in spiritual life. So thank you, Krishna. There's an exercise you can do. You can write down 10 reasons why you want to say thank you to Krishna. Like my friend, his computer broke, and one of my students. So he did this exercise. So thank you, Krishna, for breaking my computer, because now I will use my brain more. Thank you for breaking my computer, because now I will get more exercise. Thank you for breaking my computer, because now I won't forget how to write with a pen. Thank you for breaking my computer, because now I will be more in nature. And thank you for breaking my computer, because now I will get a new one. By the time he got down to number 10, his computer started working again. And this happens a lot when you do this exercise. When, like, the body is material body. Right. Yeah, no, it's not karma. It's not karma.
No, I'm asking you,
Yeah, it's arrangement, that's what I'm saying. It's not your, if a devotee gets sick, it's not your karma, it's the arrangement of Krishna. It's the arrangement of Krishna. Because by your karma, you should get much more. You should get much more. So it's, yeah, it's the arrangement of Krishna for you to progress in spiritual life. And if you take it as His mercy, then you will feel very relieved. Okay? Yeah, okay, that's over. Nothing happens naturally in this world. It's either karma or it's Krishna. Everyone else, it's happening naturally according to karma. And for devotee, it's happening naturally according to Krishna. We are in His hands. Anyone who has started chanting Hare Krishna, you come on Friday night to the program I'm going to, that will be the topic, counteracting the miseries of life. Any other questions? Okay, Jai, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.